wasn't looking for somebody to come along that was going to be, see, religion, the priest, dealt with your personal life. Your personal life. A priest didn't deal with how fast you ran your donkey down the middle of the street in town. He just dealt with your personal life, what you were doing. You know, it's like the guy said, hey, well, I'm not doing anything real bad. You know, I quit drinking last week, and, you know, I'm not doing anything really that bad. Yeah, we know that you may not be doing anything that bad right now, what you're not doing, but what have you omitted that you should be doing? And so he didn't just deal with what they were not doing, but what they had omitted from what they should have been doing. And they wasn't looking for that. They just wanted a king. And so in the 19th chapter Luke now, this is what he starts this off. It says they're nigh unto Jerusalem. So now they're thinking he's going to Jerusalem to set himself up as king. Now, this is political. This is the political arenas. And they know, see, they all understand that if you're going to get an office as a king or something, like Herod did and Pilate and all these men, they got that from Rome. They had to go to Rome. And so Jesus understands that all this authority comes from Rome, and so you have to do your politicking. You do your politicking at home. Then you get your entourage together, and you go up to Rome and before Caesar, and you state your case before him and see whether or not you get that position. So Jesus says, there was a nobleman. That's the way he starts his parable off. There was a nobleman. Now, you know what a nobleman is. That's a man that is, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive himself a kingdom and to return. Of course, his idea of this nobleman going into the far country is how he was going to go was by the way of the cross. And the far country was back to his father. And he is going to come for a kingdom. But that's not what he's telling them right now. He's showing them in their political minds. He's saying, now this certain nobleman. Now, you know what a nobleman is. This is a man that has proved himself among his community. The community knows this man is a man of integrity, honor. And he's honest and above board. He's not a cheat or a liar. A thug of some kind, and this man, he's not a rapscallion. You don't hear that much. Anyway, he's not one of these kind of fellas, and he's a nobleman. He's a guy that everybody around will be saying, "Hey, this man, if he gets this position, if he gets this kingship, it's going to be profitable for us." The economy is going to pick up. I'm telling you, this is a good man. And so he's got those that are for him. And then he's got those that are against him. And I think in that chapter, is the next verse, he's got these people that come to him and say, we don't want you to rule over us. Now, Jesus is giving this parable. So they go to this nobleman. He's a nobleman. And they said, we don't want you to rule over us. We don't want you to be our king. Why not? He's a nobleman. He's a good man. Why wouldn't you? And so he goes on to the far country. And when he comes back, now if you can get this picture, what politicians do. Now you understand the way the political arena works. It's that Romney that's fixing to run against Obama. If he wins, let me tell you something. The biggest day in Washington for U-Haul trailers is going to be if Romney wins. Because all those people in Washington has got them high-paying jobs, big shots. Big shots. if Romney wins, if he gets into power, them guys are out. Hit the road. And they'll be calling the U-Haul trailers. They're moving out. And, of course, there'll be a lot of people moving in. All his coterie of men and his entourage and all those that he picks, they'll be moving in. And those will be moving out. So when he gets back, he gathers them all together and he says, "Now what'd you do?" I go, he said, "Well, I made you this much more and the other one so forth." So when he comes back, all those that are on his side, he puts in position. So he tells him, he said, "Well, I'm gonna give you 10 cities. I'm gonna make you governor over 10 cities. This is the very thing that's going to happen in Washington. He's going to start putting people in positions. That's what political leaders do. And he gave another man 5 cities and so forth. And so they were aware of this. But what he was trying to show them in this parable was, my kingdom, it's like he told, was it Pilate or Herod, that he told, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Because he asked them. He said, "Are you a king?" And he said, thou sayest. He said, for this reason, have I come into this world to declare truth. And he says, "Well, what is truth?" Well, he should have stayed with Jesus to find out what it was. He said, "What is truth?" And he said, are you a king? And then told the Jews, he said, "Well, here's your king. Here's your king." And they said, "That's blasphemy." They said, "He's not our king. We have but one king. Caesar's our king." And they were saying, "We don't want this man to rule over us." Just like that parable that he gave them in the 19th chapter of Acts, that literally came about. And they said to Caesar, "We have but one king. Caesar's our, we don't want this man to rule over us. That's blasphemy." In fact, when he rode on the cross, Jesus, King of the Jews, they tried to get him to take that off. And when he wouldn't take it off, they said, "Well, modify it. Say, he said that he was King of the Jews." And he said, "What I have written, I have written." And God just wouldn't let it go any other way. This was their king. Well, he wasn't their king, but he should have been. And so they turned it down, and that's the way the political arena went. They tried to make him a king. And so when God said, "Behold, thy king cometh," and it was the prophecy, "Behold, thy king cometh lowly and riding on a donkey," and that's how he came into Drew. You know, if the president of the United States, if Obama was coming to Little Rock on Monday, this Monday, if he was coming to Little Rock on Monday, boy, don't you know there'd be a lot of stuff going on? There'd be people out here sweeping the streets and picking up the trash and cleaning everything up and making everything look nice because the president of the United States coming. Well, look, our king's coming. Our king's coming. Boy, we ought to be cleaning up. We ought to be cleaning everything up, cleaning our lives up, dressing up. And like that song I sang when I was in boot camp, "Standing tall and looking good." Yeah, and ought to be in Hollywood. Well, listen, our king cometh. And their king, the king of the Jews, came, and they didn't know it. They were blinded. And that's why he said in the 11th chapter of Romans, he said that the Jews, he said, having their eyes blinded, he said, blindness in part, this happened to Israel. It means that part of Israel, the biggest part of Israel, was blind. They were blind to this. They couldn't see it. Thank God there was those few that did see. And Jesus, out of those crowds. I've said before, if he would have just stopped his preaching and not said anything and just went about doing good, the whole country would have followed him. But they couldn't stand the preaching. And we've had people come among us and said, "You know, we just love the spirit here. We love the singing. We love what we feel, but it's your damnable doctrine. We just can't take your damnable doctrine. Well, they don't. What they didn't understand, the damnable doctrine is what makes the spirit. It's what you believe that causes the spirit. And so here was Jesus trying to give them and show them, look, I can't be quiet. The words I speak are not mine. They're my Father's. I'm the messenger. I got to bring the message. Praise God. And he didn't just come with water. He came with fire. And Paul said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. Why, no. Yeah. And the fiery trials is what's going to purge the gold and the silver. And if you're gold or if you're silver, hey, you don't need to have anything to worry about, because all that's going to burn out of you is the trash, is the garbage. But if you're not gold and silver, if you're wood, hay, or stubble, that's why Paul said, take heed how you build, brethren, for no other foundation can a man lay but that which is laid by Jesus Christ. And the prophets and Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, take heed. And he said, some men would build with wood, hay, and stubble, and that's all flammable. It looks good. It just looks good. But I tell you, it won't take the pressure. It won't take the fire. But he said, other men would build with gold and silver and precious stones. Hallelujah. You may not get a whole lot there, but it will remain what you do get. What you do get will be there, and you may not get a lot, but that's what makes it valuable, because you have to hunt for it. You got to dig for it. You got to hunt and dig and search for it to get it. And so here he was showing that God, that he was going to bring his this kingdom. God was at hand. And so when he said about John that never a man born of a woman was greater than John, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Let me tell you something. He wasn't talking about John as much as he was talking about the kingdom that was going to be born on the day of Pentecost. That kingdom was so great that he said the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. What do you think of that? Now, you know what that is telling me? That's telling me, every one of you sitting in this building today, if your eyes has been opened to the kingdom of God, you're greater than John. You're greater than Abraham. You're greater than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Enoch. You're greater than any of them. You're in the kingdom. You're in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he started that, Jesus said, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They try to prevail against it. That church that Jesus built, that 120 that went to the upper room, that was built by Jesus, that was his church. And he said, not one of them is going to be lost, saving Judas, the son of perdition. That's the only one that was lost. That was prophesied. That was predicted. They knew it, and it was going to happen. But he said, none of them shall be lost. And he said, Father, I thank you for these that you've given me. They are mine. They are thine, and they are mine. I thank you that you haven't taken them out of the world, but that you kept them from the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, well, let me tell you something. We're not out of the world, but thank God the world's not in us. And if the world gets in us, it's going to be trouble. You're going down. If the world gets in you, the ark was fine as long as the water didn't get in the ark. Didn't matter how much water there was, as long as the water don't get in the ark. But if the water gets in the ark's going down. And just like what we're doing here, we're building the ark. Brother Smith here in Little Rock, Arkansas, is building an ark symbolically. And he's pitching this with the Word of God on the inside and on the outside. It can't just be on the inside. People say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, that's the trouble. He does. I wouldn't go bragging about that. He does know. He does know what's in the heart. But the thing is, if your inside gets pitched, it's got to be pitched on the outside too, to seal you. He told the four angels in Revelations, John said to the four angels, or God did to the four angels that sit on the four corners of the earth. He said, you hold back the winds of wrath of God. You hold them back. How long? Until my servants are sealed in their foreheads. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know that's what God's doing to you every week when you make your way, down to the house of God, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, little by little. You're being sealed. Where were they sealed? In the book of Revelation? In their foreheads. It was right in their forehead. And here's what sealing does. It does two things. It keeps what's in there, and that which is out keeps it out, and what's in keeps it in. That you no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, while these preachers, even among us, preachers are going to arise, preaching perverse things and leading off disciples unto themselves. But if you get sealed, you get sealed. Not to forget those things that you've received. There's things that we've received of God. And he said, don't let them slip from you. Don't let them slip from you. That's why we got to keep preaching this message. Hold on to it. Hold on to it.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hold on to this message. This message will take you through the fire.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It'll take you through there. Because it's going to be, there's just one ark of God that's been commissioned to be built. There's just one church. There's just one body. There's just one God who's above all, through all, and in you all. There's just one. Praise God, it's not multiple. There is two world systems. The Bible talks about, you started hearing about that one world order under Reaganomics. But even today, every president has brought that up of one world system. And so even when the European markets had gathered together and united in a currency, this is the forethought on all this one world system, that there be a one world currency that was going to bring about global peace and prosperity to the economy. And bring this about. And so here the world is looking at. So here's these two world powers. There's two world powers that's coming up. And in the 17th chapter of Revelation, and about the 13th verse or so, it said that the 10 kings that have not received a kingdom yet shall receive power for 1 hour. And they're going to give their power to the beast. And it says, this is what it said, that God was going to put it in the hearts of the 10 kings. Well, you know the nations of this world, they don't hardly agree on anything. They said when they started the world, the United Nations, that there would never be another war. We've had more wars since they started the United Nations than we did before. Because they won't agree. They're not united. They're just under the umbrella of so-called United Nations. But they're not united. They're not. You know, they're divided. And every time one of them just says, well, we're going to do this, the other says, oh, you can't do that. We don't think you ought to do that. And it reminds me of a story I read about Stalin and Eisenhower and Churchill, and they were having a meeting, and Churchill tells Stalin their strategy, what they want Stalin to do about the war with Hitler, and they wanted Stalin to do something another. I just read the story, and they wanted Stalin to do something. Stalin said, no, I'm not going to do that. And Churchill says, why? Why won't you do it? And Stalin says, well, he said, it's like these two Arabs. He said, one of them asked the other one to loan him his rope. He said, no. He said, well, why won't you loan me your rope? He said, because I got to tie my camel up. He said, but you don't have a camel. He said, yes, I know that. But he said, is one excuse as good as another? And that's why they don't agree. And so by the way, the next time you got an excuse why you can't come to church, I suppose one excuse is good as another one. If you're just looking, just call Brother Smith and tell him, I need my rope. I got to tie my camel up. And he'll understand. And so here there's no unity. And the world's, but look what happens. It said that God is going to put it in their hearts to agree for 1 hour. Now, you know what an hour is. And God, this is God's time. An hour is just real easy. A circle got 360 degrees. That's it. 360 degrees, 360 days. That's a year. That's the complete circle. This is the way God takes time. So we're just wanting 1 hour out of it. And so you divide 24 because there's 24 hours in every one of those degrees. So you divide 24 in to get 1 hour, and it comes out 15. So it's 15 years. 1 hour is 15 years. And so he said, they'll give their power to the beast for 1 hour, meaning 15 years. And he said, now these kings don't have a kingdom as yet. But when they get their kingdom, and listen, I don't know how close we are to this, but it very well could be that right now there's some little boys running around somewhere that's going to grow up one day and become one of those kings. One of those kings that's going to make up the ten kingdoms. Now look at this. Daniel 2 and the second chapter of Daniel, where he said, in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven. Now this is what's going to happen. See, now this is the other world power I was talking about. I told you the Bible talked about two world powers. And one of them is in the 17th chapter of Revelations. And here's the other one in Daniel 2. He said, in the days of those kings shall God... Let me just turn over there. Let me just get that. Sometimes for... You just got to turn to the book. where he said, in the days of those kings. Fourth verse, and in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for how long? Ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. No wonder why he said, there's never been a man born of a woman greater than John. But the least of you in Little Rock, Arkansas is greater than John. If you're in the kingdom. Hallelujah. That kingdom was that little stone here in the second chapter that was hewed out of the mountain without hands. That means Brother Smith didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't have anything to do with it. There's no preacher had anything to do with it. That is, we did our part. We're under shepherds. But it was God saying it was hewn out without hands. It means man didn't have anything to do with it. It takes God. You know, when I was a little boy, I don't know if they still got Cracker Jacks or not, but when I was a little boy, they had little boxes of Cracker Jacks, and they had a little prize in there. And one of those little prizes, back when I was a little boy, was a magnet, a little magnet. And I'd take that magnet, and I'd take, you know, pins and stuff, and I'd see how close I could get them to those pins where I could move them without touching them. And sometimes I'd even take them, paper, and put them on paper and put the magnet underneath and move them around. But when I was playing with them, and if I got a little too close, those pins would jump up on that magnet. Because they were metal. They had metal had this certain kind of metal in them that the magnet affected. We even use this little illustration. That guy's got some metal in him, meaning he's strong. God is that magnet. I've already quoted that scripture that no man can come. Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless my Father, the magnet, draw him. Now the reason why you're here is because you got some magnet. You got some metal in you. There's some metal in you. And God drew you. And hopefully as He's drawing you to Him, that He'll get close enough to you that you finally just jump up on Him and never leave. Hallelujah. You're just going to jump up on Him. Praise God. And He's going through the land. That magnet is. He's going through the land. Seeing if there's any metal in them. Is there any metal in them? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He's going to gather them together in one great body. And this is what He said. This kingdom shall last forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This kingdom, God's kingdom is going to start ruling right at the end of that hour. See, at the end of that hour, that last hour, the first half of that hour, God's gathering His people together. The latter rain's falling. And God's at work about raising up one kingdom, and He's raising up another kingdom at the same time. And the kingdom that He's going to put in the hearts, that's called, you know what? It's a great supper. It's called the supper of the great God. And that's the supper you don't want to be invited to. But if you don't have any metal in you, you will be there. But if you've got some metal, you don't want to be in that supper. He said, because the birds of the air shall eat the flesh of the kings of the world. That in that day of the supper of the great God. There's another supper that I want to go to. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now that's the one. That's the one you've been invited to. You've been invited to that supper. All you've got to make sure is you get your wedding garment on. Got preachers around us trying to take you, saying you don't need a wedding garment. I'm telling you here today, the Word of God says you do need that wedding garment on. You do need it. You find yourself speechless in that day, but God's gathering His people together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's gathering His people together into one great body, a one world system. And that order is going to start ruling in the millennium, at the beginning of the millennium. And for 1,000 years without cessation, it's going to rule. It's going to reign without a respite, without a cessation of any kind. For 1,000 years, He's going to rule and reign here on the earth with His bride. And the Bible said in that day, said the Lord was going to establish His house in the top of the mountain. The kingdom of God is going to be established in the top of the mountain. Now get this. And the nations of the world will flow into it. You don't flow uphill. Nothing flows uphill. That's against nature. And it shows you it's God. It's that magnet. See, all the nations left, it's got metal in them. And they'll just, that magnet just draw them up there. They'll just flow right into it because there's something more powerful than them. They just got the right kind of metal and they're being sucked right into it. Thank God. Oh, Lord. Give me metal. Let me be the metal that'll be attracted to that magnet. That finally I'll jump on it and I'll be like Paul when he said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Woo! Loosen and let them go. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Glory.
Blessed be the Lord. I'm telling you, you're here today. It's because that magnet drew you in here, and there's enough metal in you that caused you to come in here. Now, don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Don't give over to your flesh and get the idea that I don't need to subjugate myself to anybody. I'm called of God. Jesus is my Lord. I do whatever I want to do. Let me tell you something. Before you go to bed at night, you read that fourth chapter of Ephesians, and you'll find out, brother, you need a leader. You need a shepherd. You need an under-shepherd to guide you, because sheep can't be left to themselves. You need someone to direct you and coach you and show you how to get close to the magnet. Woo! Glory be to God! I'm telling you, I feel good all over more than anywhere else right now. Woo! Hallelujah! I love this. I love the body of Christ.
Yes,
is there things wrong with it? Glory! Why, yes, there's things wrong with it. What do you think we got all this New Testament for? There was stuff going on and things going on and men turning and Hymenaeus and Philetus, who words doeth eat like a canker. There's preachers that rose up in that in the early rain church and the white throne church. It rose up preaching perverse things. Oh, yes, it is. And other men just quitting and going back in the world. They had all of that. Even while Paul was up preaching, and a guy fell asleep, fell out of the loft, and broke his neck. Now, if you do that this morning with me, I don't think I'll be bringing you back. Not because I wouldn't want to. I would want to. I just don't have what Paul had. I'm like the guy at the gate, beautiful. You know, he had his arms out. He's expecting alms from Peter, and he says, but Peter said, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given to you. And they healed them. And the way we do it today is silver and gold we have plenty, but such as they have, we don't have any. You know, so we're going to just give you alms right now. I'm telling you, there's a power coming to the kingdom of God.
Yes, I believe.
Oh, brother. Oh, you hold in here. You hold in here. There's things in this Bible that's locked away in the lids of this Bible we hadn't touched yet. The greatest message hadn't been preached yet. The power, the most powerful power of God fallen hadn't fell yet. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming down the road. Oh, yes. The ark's coming up the road. Blessed be the Lord.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I can feel it coming. Glory. This is the kingdom of God. And so what I have to remind myself when things are going on, I'd say, Lord, I understand, but I'm going to buy the field anyway. Because there's a treasure hid in that field, and you got to buy the field to get the treasure. Glory to God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed boy, bleed the Lord. I am persuaded. Whoa. Jesus. You remember what it was the first time you come to Jesus before how you came to church and you came to church and you'd sit in that pew and the power of God be falling and you just couldn't let go. You just couldn't let go. And people ask you, you know, say, do you want to go down there? No, not right now. You just keep holding on. Just keep holding on, holding back. Then finally one night, you finally turned loose and said, I think I'll go down there. And when you went down there, and you met your Savior. You met this messenger. You met this high priest. You met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He saved you and forgave you and wrote the bill off, paid your bill in full, and you came out of there sinless. Do you remember how that felt? Do you remember what you felt that night? Well, come on. You know, if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, I'd be down here. I'd say, come on, I'm going to turn this pew loose. I'm going to go. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of that kingdom that shall never pass away. And that little stone, let me tell you what that stone did. It began to grow, and it grew till it filled the whole world.
Hallelujah.
And that's when he finally said, you won't say to your neighbor, Hey, do you know the Lord? You can't walk across the street in Little Rock, Arkansas, and over there and say, hey, do you people know the Lord? He said, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Glory be to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Well, you know you can't do anything for Jesus today. He's not here. He's back with his Father. But when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. There you go. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good.
Good. God's building a church in this hour, full of righteousness and power. Have a ladder raised for all the world to see. It will never fall away. He's restoring it today, and he's building it with stones like you and me. God's building a church in this hour, filled with righteousness and power. He'll have a ladder rain for all the world to see. It will never fall away. He's restoring it today.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. I'm encouraged. That message encouraged me, lifted me up. Praise the Lord. We've got a little bit of time before dinner's ready to be served. And so, you know, Brother and Sister Sladek was here a couple of weeks ago. Sister Sladek didn't say a word.
Weekend, Brother Bud, that was just so wonderful. I just felt the Holy Ghost all over me. But it's just so wonderful to be in the body and to, you know, to live for the Lord. What better place could we be? You know, there's no other place I would rather be on this earth than here, right here with you people. It's just like one big happy family. Me and Les was talking on the way home, and I said, Les, it's just like you're, you know, everyone's just family there. I said, it's just so welcoming. That's how it is in the body. That's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to love one another. And I'm just want you all to pray for us that we can keep on journeying with the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, I want to say something about Brother Bud's ministry because he's been in this a long time, and I appreciate men of God that the Lord's gave them the burden to hold the perimeters. Hold the foundation, the earmarks. You know, it's important for us to have that held into place. And for this vision, we talk a lot about our vision, but it's our vision is because men have deposited what God has gave them to give to the saints of God. Paul said in Ephesians 4, he said there's one faith and there's one baptism, one Spirit, and there's one Lord and one Father who is in you all and through you all. This has to get in you, but it's got to flow through you. After it gets in you, it's got to move on. And thank God for the ministry that went on before us. And I was thinking about Brother Bud's ministry. I want to take him up an offering for, he's a missionary, and I understand the labors. You might, you know, think, well, you know, I see Brother Bud, Brother Smith's got motor homes and, you know, and a nice car or home. Well, let me tell you, it didn't start out that way. Preachers in this start out on the rough side of the mountain. God, you have to be proven in the Lord, and as you develop in God, God begins to bless you to help you to do what He's called you to do. But there's a proving time when you start out like Brother and Sister Bud did in a little old house that didn't even have a bathroom in it. And, you know, if you knew their life, what all they've suffered to stay on the job and for God to approve their ministry, then not only did God give him churches to pastor, he's still pastoring two churches and overseeing several, but then he gave him a missionary work after Brother Jack Lewis passed away. And many years before, Brother Lewis felt of God to get Brother Bud to help him with the work in Mexico. Let me tell you, there's so many needs in these works over in these other lands. And God, that's another thing. We don't just go over into missionary fields and just, you know, start, you know, just like in another religious order, but God, one of the things Brother Souders taught us was, is that we don't need to be carrying this message somewhere until we've got it, the message of God restored to a point that it'll help people to know the truth of God's Word and what God's really working on and to be a part of it. We're not interested in just taking a salvation message to people that they may be carried away into some religious prison house, but we're interested in a message that'll deliver you from everything that's in this world. And so God has been not only restoring the church, but He's been calling men to other fields and other lands, getting something ready. We don't know what all God's doing, but I've even said to other men that you might want to invest in some of these missionary works in other lands. If you would have been a Jew back in the days of the early church, and you knew what God was going to do with Paul's ministry, and if you knew what kind of persecution was going to come on Jerusalem. You know, history says there's 100,000 saints in Jerusalem. But the persecution got so great that they were driven. They had to flee out of Jerusalem. The Jews, the true church of God. The Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, those 100,000 saints had to get out of there because persecution was so great. Jesus prophesied of it in Matthew 24. He said, pray not that your flight be not in winter. He said, woe be unto them that give suck in those days. There was going to come so much persecution in Israel and in Jerusalem. We know eventually that Jerusalem was overthrown. But those people fled up into southeastern Asia and got in Paul's churches. If they'd have known that's where they was going to wind up, they'd have probably gave Paul some offerings. They'd probably said, let me go over there with you. Let me see if I can find a little hut or something to invest in. Let me see if I can't make me a bed over there. Make some friends. Because when I get there, I want them to like me. I want them to help take care of me. Because at one time they had to flee and go over there and find a place to live. That was something, wasn't it? In the end of this world, there's going to be trouble. And we don't know what God's getting ready in these other countries, but we may have to make our home there before it's over with. I don't like to be a preacher of doom, but I'm telling you, there's going to be trouble in the end of this world. But God will take care of His people. And so we've got brothers and sisters that God's getting them ready not only for, not just that we may be fleeing to their land someday, but He's getting them ready for the next 1,000 years. This This kingdom that's going to have no end that Brother Bud was talking about. They're part of this. And they're struggling. But this message is resounding in their hearts and in their minds. And God is giving them what you and I have received in these third world countries. And I know Brother Bud's, he's got churches they're trying to build. They don't have money to build. I've got a church in the Dominican Republic. Just four concrete walls, still a dirt floor that's been standing for almost 2 years. We can't get enough money to finish the job yet. So, and I know he's got issues the same. That they've got churches they're still waiting to build. That people are having church out under mango trees. And when it rains, they just have to put a sack over. That's the way it is in the Dominican Republic. They just take a trash bag and put it over their head and kind of over their body and get in under something if they can. But they're there to worship God and to hear the, buy the truth and sell it not. So I want to invest today in the work Brother Bud's doing. I know there isn't no greater investment that you can make than invest in the work of God. Jesus knew that when he was 12 years old. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Well, the Bible says when you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. And he also said he owes no man anything. So, you can't beat this when you give to the poor. The poor missionary works in the body of Christ. You can be assured that you're just loaning money to God and he's going to repay. And I want to invest in what God's doing in Brother Bud's ministry. We don't give him enough, and he doesn't come often enough. So when he does, well, I want to take an opportunity to make an investment, make a deposit. Hallelujah! I think God watches things like that. So if the ushers would come, if we could get a song, let's give a good offering to Brother Bud's labors over in Mexico. And y'all may, do they still have the pans? Thank you, Brother Fisher. We could get another song and give. I just wanted to give. I hate for, especially a missionary to come here. Of course, I want to bless all of God's ministers in the body that come, but especially those that have these works, that they've got so many needs. I understand it. Brother Jack Lewis told me one time, he said, Brother Smith, you listen to what I'm telling you. He said, when your church starts supporting missionary works, your income in your church is going to improve. It'll do more than double, he told me. I can tell you that happened. He was a true prophet. God, he loves, he watches over those that watches over what he's doing and that are faithful to it. So God bless you today as you give. And stay, everyone, stay, for we're having potluck dinner today, so. And if you've never ate any food from the cooks in the Little Rock Church, Brother McGowan said if you look at some of the men, you'll know it's good food just by looking at them. All right. God bless you as you give.
I believe the church of the Lord is being established, lifted high for the world to see. And in the house he's building on the top of Mount Zion, Jesus included me. I believe the church of the Lord is being established, lifted high for the world. And
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you don't feel like you've been to church, your feeler's broke. You feel good today? Hallelujah. Let's thank God. Ask Him to bless the food and the fellowship. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you for the body of Christ, Lord. What you're doing in the earth, for being a part of your kingdom, oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless this day. Bless your children, Lord. Direct our steps. Help us, oh, God, to serve you in a greater way. To be led of you more. Oh, God, let your Spirit help us and lead us and guide us into all your will, Father. Bless the food and the fellowship, oh, God, that we're about to partake. Amen, amen, hallelujah.